Are you recording now?
I'm recording. This is gonna sound weird.
Things are about to get weird. Just get to the murder.
Welcome.
Welcome.
To This Is Gonna Sound Weird, a podcast. I am one of your hosts, Sydney.
And I'm your other host, Taylor.
And each week we cover a topic about all things true crime, paranormal, and everything in between. Taylor, what's our theme this week?
Our theme for this week is bad lawyers, bad attorneys. I don't know if we came up with a theme, like an actual name, but I titled my document as bad lawyers.
Yeah, it don't have to necessarily, and when we say bad lawyers, we don't necessarily mean that they are bad at their job. Yeah. It could be that they're bad at their job, or it could be that, you know, maybe they have bad intentions, they represent bad people,
they're just bad, bad at the bone.
They're just bad. God dang it. Yeah, we're doing this in honor of Taylor. She's growing closer to graduation, and she's got to decide what kind of lawyer is she going to be. Is she going to be bad to the bone?
No. I'm going to be a good one. I hope good in all ways. I'm good at my job. I feel like I already am a good person, so I think I'd be okay in that sense. Good person as in I'm not just going to be horrible. If I'm going to be a good attorney or not, I guess we will see that in time. But,
yeah, you better be a good person, and I'll tell you why. Because, I filled out a reference form for Taylor so she could take the bar, and they basically point blank asked me if she was of good moral standing, conscience, and I said yes. So don't make me a liar.
I won't make you a liar. I'll make you a truther.
Yeah, you better.
Yeah, but my case that I'm doing, I'm not going into it quite right yet, but I told a shortened version of it to about a bunch of people today. I have a class, like a small class. It's like a law clinic, and I told it to all of them, and they were just fascinated. They thought it was a good story. They might have only thought that because we're all about to be attorneys. So if y'all don't like this story, I'm sorry, but the people in my class quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I mean, they're going to be lawyers, so they could be lying. You know, lawyers are really good at lying.
But yeah, they could have been lying to me, and that would have been rude of them, but it's very possible. We were all happy when it happened, though. I tell you, we ate pizza today. Our professor got us pizza, which was just so nice of him. These were the biggest pizzas I've ever seen in my life. I'm talking massive. I don't even know how to explain. Like, we were at a conference room table, and it was a wide table. The pizza was like the full, like, at least width of the table. Like, they put the pizzas down, and we couldn't even put the plates up next to the boxes. The slices, people on the screen can't see, but like if you look at your laptop screen, the length of it, I mean, it's at least 3 or 4 more inches longer than your laptop screen was the slice of pizza.
I mean, that's great. I like a big slice of pizza because then I can say, oh, I only had 2 slices.
It was at least 1 foot long. I think it was longer than 1 foot. I think I was the most shocked out of everybody. I was really showing my small townness, I think, with my shock at the size of the pizza.
God, yeah. Someone let her out of the country, and she's just been shocked ever since.
Don't ask me where it was from because I don't remember.
That was going to be my next question, but I guess I'll just have to look up huge-ass pizzas in my area.
It may have been someplace named Benny's, but I don't know, because even though, I think it is Benny's. I'm looking it up right now in Raleigh, North Carolina. Benny Capitale's. Capitale's. Actually, I don't even know if that's pizza. Either way, I'm telling you,
It sounds Italian.
It's a big old pizza, y'all. If you're looking for...
Oh. I have been to Benny's.
Have you seen their massive pizza?
I haven't seen their massive pizzas, but if it's Benny's, I have been there because they are open very late after the bars close in downtown Raleigh. So you can go and get yourself a slice of pizza for like a dollar or something.
Well, I didn't know that.
So.
But yes, if you're in the Raleigh area, check out Benny's.
Benny's for their huge ass pizzas.
Yeah. And this ain't...
I mean, when I had it, it was good, but I will be honest, I was intoxicated.
Well, I was fully sober, except for a little Coke I was drinking. It was good. I mean, it's, you know, it's pizza. I liked it because it didn't have a whole bunch of sauce, and the crust was actually very good. It tastes like it's almost like a sourdough type of crust. So
you lost me because I like a lot of sauce on my pizza. I'm a saucy girl.
I do not. Most people don't, I would say, unless you like deep dish Chicago.
That is a big slice of pizza on the Google.
Yeah, images. It was wild. Like when you put it on your plate, you had to flop it over because it was just dangling off. It was odd. But I know y'all didn't come here to hear about big ass slices of pizza, because I'm sure y'all probably seen bigger pizza and you think that this is boring and not exciting. But I'm here to tell you, it was the highlight of my day.
Yeah, I myself had pizza for dinner. Not as big as the pizza that Taylor got, but it was tasty.
Well, I'm happy for you. I made lightly fried pork chops with gravy and onions and peppers for dinner. So, Brandon likes it when I cook him old Southern lady meals and not my newfangled shit. So, he was happy.
Yes, I like to make an old lady Southern meal. I really like to make homemade biscuits and stuff on like a Saturday morning, and I purposely put on my muumuu so that Colton's thinks that he's been kidnapped by someone's grandma.
Oh yes, I love cooking in my muumuu in the morning times. But I'm gonna hop into my case since I teased y'all with it a little bit earlier, and I'm not gonna lie, my case is pretty short, which is fine, because I liked it. So here we go. These are my sources. TwinCities.com, an article by the Pioneer Press, and it was Egan Lawyer Suspended. Lowe's Petition, so this guy who I'm talking about, Thomas Lowe, I used the actual petition for disciplinary action from the state of Minnesota Supreme Court. I used a Cracked.com article by Rob Nietupski, 5 Most Blatantly Corrupt Lawyers in History. And Justia.com, the order that the Minnesota Supreme Court basically handed down to this guy. I went very original source on this because it had the best information. So, Thomas Lowe was a 58-year-old attorney from Minnesota. And he has been an attorney, or had been an attorney, since 1985. So, in August of 2011, he met with a client who was wanting to get a divorce. She was wanting to get a divorce from her husband. I don't know why I had to say that, but cool. And
thank you for specifying.
And Thomas Lowe agreed to represent this woman. And this woman is not named throughout all of this, for reasons you will see later. Her name has been kept secret. So... Thomas Lowe, the attorney, actually knew this client before she came to him, because the two had actually been from the same place in North Dakota. It was Valley City, North Dakota. And apparently back in 1996, she had already talked to Lowe about getting a divorce from her husband then, but she ended up deciding not to get a divorce at that time, and the two stayed married until 2011, at which point I guess she was like, you know what, I really do want to get a divorce. And so she came back to talk to Lowe. So Lowe and the woman had a phone call a few days following their initial consultation. And on the call, Lowe started asking the woman specifically about her sexual relationship with her husband, and then he commented on her appearance, and then he asked her if she would be interested in having a sexual relationship with him. So it all escalated quite quickly.
It did.
And I guess that she did want to have a sexual relationship with him, because the next month, the two started an affair. And they had their very first meeting at a Holiday Inn Express in Eagan, Minnesota.
Damn it.
So, following this, the two engaged in many sexual relation encounters. Most of the time, it was at the Holiday Inn Express. Sometimes it was actually at the woman's house, and even in restaurant parking lots, which seems like a thing that you don't do at the ripe old age of, you know, in your 50s.
I guess when you're having a midlife crisis, you fall off the deep end and you shag at an Applebee's parking lot.
Yeah, I wish I would have wrote this down. There was a specific restaurant they ate at in a parking lot that they'd had sex in after they ate at the restaurant. And it was similar to an Applebee's, but So that's how they continued. I guess they weren't really, like, they weren't in a relationship. Like, it didn't seem like it was emotional. It literally seemed like they were just hooking up. So, but you know, she was on her way to a divorce, so, you know. Now, in March of 2012, so the two had been having this affair for, you know, a few months, like August to March. They had some arguments, and the arguments were just about, like, his marriage and about the, like, affair they were having. And to me, it seemed like he probably was like, yeah, I'm still married and I want to stop this affair, blah, blah, blah. So he ended up breaking up with this woman. And just a few days later, he ended his representation of her and he sent her a bill for his services. So, you know, that's...
Wait, for the legal services? Or
well, we'll get to that.
Services?
We'll get to that part. But, you know, that's pretty bad. You get broke up with, you lose your attorney, and he gives you a bill all in the same week. So, this part is sad. This had a really bad effect on this woman, and apparently, prior to this, like, she was already pretty vulnerable because she had suffered, sexual abuse in the past, and she had been suffering with mental health problems, and she was actually getting treatment for this, and she told this to her attorney, and so he knew about all of this, and still was being an asshole and treating her awful. And so after he broke up with her and ended his representation of her, she attempted to die by suicide. But luckily, she was unsuccessful and she ended up being hospitalized. And so while she was in the hospital, she disclosed that she had had an affair with her attorney, Lowe, and that that was the reason that she had attempted to die by suicide. And at this point, the affair had come out. And it was discovered that, you know, the two were having an affair, yes, but not only were they having that affair, our attorney Lowe was billing her for the time that they were having sex. So damn, he was it. Billing her for legal services when they would go on these dates and have sex. And then he would just, like, put them in his system as meetings or drafting memos. So, yes, he was billing her for all of their time. Which, if you don't know how attorneys bill their time, it is meticulous. You bill your time in, like, I think in 6-minute increments.
So not hourly. No.
Not hourly. You have to, like, yeah, you bill it in 6-minute increments, which is very hard. And you have to be very careful to not accidentally, you know, you can't overbill, because if you overbill, you're going to get in trouble. And so you got to be very careful. And this guy was not being careful. He was being the opposite of careful, as he was just lying and saying that when they were at the Holiday Inn, I mean, technically, I guess meeting up for sex is a meeting, but, that didn't fly. So I wrote next, obviously, this is not okay. And The Office of Lawyers' Professional Responsibility brought a petition against Lowe, and I think they brought this, I don't know, it was either in 2012 or 2013, but Lowe initially denied most of what was in this petition, so the petition just kind of alleged everything that I just told you. So he denied it at first, but then he ended up admitting to it. And this is not the first time that Lowe had gotten in trouble. Starting in 1995, he had some serious things that he had gotten in trouble with basically the Minnesota State Bar. So, you know, when you're an attorney or a doctor, you get, a lot of times when you get in trouble for doing stuff, like, if you get, you know, you get in trouble for doing professional things that you shouldn't be doing, or whatever. I can't get it out. You know what I mean. And you'll see some examples. So in 1995, this was his first time he got in trouble. And this was only 10 years into his practice. So he received an admonition for shouting obscenities and attempting to hit opposing counsel in the courthouse. In 1997, he was placed on a 2-year probation from practicing law for using cocaine. And he had purchased the cocaine from a client. And then he provided also some of that cocaine to his own law partner. So, like, okay. That's pretty bad. But, you know, he's still out here working. And in 2001, he was issued another admonition for, again, shouting obscenities at a court employee during a phone conversation. And then, in 2004, he was issued yet another admonition for insulting a judge and disrupting a judicial proceeding. So, you know, it's pretty clear this guy did not have a clean record as a lawyer. But now this is the part that kind of shocked me. So after all this came out and the whole him charging his client for sex all came out, to me, I would think, okay, you're getting your license took away. Like, this is just too much. Mm-hmm. He did not have his license taken away, but he was suspended indefinitely, which basically meant he was unable to practice law for at least 15 months following the decision. And that was filed by the Minnesota Supreme Court on January 10th of 2013. And at the end of that 15-month period, he had the option to try and be reinstated into the bar, which would, you know, take an approval, and also he would have to retake basically the multi-state professional responsibility exam, or MPRE, which every attorney has to take before you take the bar. I've already taken my MPRE, and I will tell you now, taking the MPRE is not going to make this man not have sex with his clients again, because it's just a 2-hour test. So... I'll tell you now, I don't think it's gonna work.
You know what? This is very similar to about once a month, my company will send out phishing emails.
Yes.
to see if you click on it. And if you click on it, then you have to sit and you have to watch like a 30-minute video on cybersecurity. Oh, God. But here's the thing. Watching that video is not gonna make me click on that email. It's just not.
Yeah, so if this guy takes his MPRE again, he could be reinstated. And I don't know if he was reinstated, but my guess is he probably was. Because he'd already done all this bullcrap, and he still is an attorney. Which, now, this came out of the conversation that I was talking to my class about. We were talking, because I told them this story, and they were like, what the heck? I was like, you'd think he'd get, you know, not be reinstated. But then somebody goes, well, it is Minnesota. And I was like, what? And somebody, but at first you're like,
oh. They just do that wacky stuff.
But the thing that they mentioned, which could be true, is that in a lot of, like, more rural areas in America, there's a shortage of attorneys because nobody wants to go work out there. And so, like, if he's one of the only attorneys in this area, they probably would reinstate him, because without him, there's, like, nobody to actually represent the people in the area, which does make sense. And some guy actually said that he had a friend who graduated law school in Minnesota, and he didn't even have to take the bar when he graduated law school. It was just like, well, if you went to law school here, you probably know enough, so just go ahead and go start practicing, because we need people real bad, real bad. So, It's like that North Carolina, too. They're doing, like, a study right now of rural areas in North Carolina and how there is, like, just not enough attorneys to support the population. So, yeah, if any of y'all out there want to be attorneys and you want to live in a rural area, go for it, because we need them. And we need good ones, clearly. So, along with the suspension, our attorney here, Lo, was fined $900. And that is all I could find on the story of Thomas Lo, who had sex with his client and charged her for it. That's bad, man. And you know there's more to that story, because he was taking advantage of her so hard.
So he billed her for, you know, his time. Yeah. Did he also bill her back, like, if they went to dinner? Did he also, like, you're going to also fit the bill for this dinner?
That I don't know. Honestly, I feel like he probably paid for the dinner and then just charged her for the time. Because I think it said he charged, like, I think, like, $250 an hour. So, and I know, he probably didn't take her nowhere too nice. He probably took her to, like, the Chili's or the Applebee's.
Yeah, he got that. He can't get it for 2 for $20 at Chili's no more, because they no longer offer it.
You can do the something for the 3 for $10. No, you know what I'm talking about.
No, it's like 3 for me.
Yeah, 3 for me.
And I'm here to tell you they took some of the menu items off of that deal. What? Yeah, you don't get the cookie skillet no more.
But yeah. So, if your divorce lawyer wants to have sex with you, make sure he ain't billing you for it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Sorry to that lady. But thank you for sharing that nonetheless.
You're welcome. I hope she's doing better now. And I'm sure she is doing better now that this asshole's out of her life.
But let me tell you about my crooked lawyer.
Okay.
Or maybe he's not crooked. I'll let you decide. All
right. I'll be the judge of that. So. Didn't.
Cricket.
Got him.
Cricket. Yeah. Yeah. Jury's still out on if that was a funny joke.
That was too far. Took it too far. One step too far.
Sorry. Sustained.
Damn. Overruled.
It's a bit of legal jargon. That's a little bit of legal jargon for you.
Yeah. Y'all can take the bar and pass it now. If you know what a judge is, jury is, that's all you need to know.
That's all I need to know. And I know plead the fifth.
Yeah, I know that one. I know my rights.
I've seen Legally Blonde at least like 50 times.
Me too. So. Me and every other white girl in law school.
I think it's a prerequisite.
I think it is.
That was your first class in college, was just you sat there and you watched it and watched it and watched it.
I'm telling you, the first, like, one of the first days in law school, every blonde girl, and I'm one of them, but I didn't say it, they'll be like, yeah, people just say I'm, like, you know, legally blonde, and I'm like, shut up, not every blonde girl in law school is legally blonde. None of us look like her. Do you see her? Do you look like Reese Witherspoon? No, sit down.
I thought you were going to tell me that first day everyone wore pink.
No. Some did. Some tried to, you know, fit the vibe. I did not. Even though I do like a hot pink suit. It do draw attention. But I
like it.
I don't know. Suits are expensive.
They are. And
I probably just need
law school starts in August, so it's just too
hot. Yeah, and I feel like it's better just to get you a sensible black.
That's true. So my lawyer this week that I will be discussing is no other than Robert Shapiro.
Dun dun.
Dun dun dun. I used quite a bit of sources. I used allthat'sinteresting.com, Wikipedia, Los Angeles Times, ANE.com, and an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Uh-huh. Never heard of it.
But you didn't see that coming.
Who are these Kardashians you speak of?
These Kardashians?
Kardashians.
So I'll tell you. Robert Shapiro was born on September 2nd, 1942 in Plainfield, New Jersey, and he would go on to graduate from Loyola Law School in 1968 and was admitted to the State Bar of California in 1969. He would go on to defend many celebrities during his time as a lawyer, which is kind of why most people know him. And, you know, maybe you'll know some of the names. Taylor probably won't because she doesn't know celebrities.
I might. I'll keep a tally.
Yeah. So, Shapiro initially represented the former host of The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson, when he was arrested for a DUI in 1982. And Carson pled no contest and just received a fine in addition to 3 years probation.
Okay.
So not too bad, I guess.
No.
In the grand scheme of things. But in 1989, Jose and Kitty Menendez were discovered brutally murdered in their Beverly Hills home. Initially, the police were without suspects, but over time believed that the couple's two sons could have been responsible for the murders. Mm-hmm. And Taylor discusses this case in one of our former episodes, if you want to go back and listen to it. It is, it was just high-profile court cases.
Okay, yeah.
So, I'm just going to give you a broad overview of this case. But the two sons, Lyle, who was 21, and Eric, who was 18, were the ones who discovered their parents' bodies, and within 6 months following their parents' murders, had burned through nearly $700,000. Mm. Lyle was arrested, but his brother Eric was in Israel at the time, participating in a tennis tournament. And so Eric flew home to LA upon hearing the news of his brother's arrest, and his lawyer helped him arrange his surrender. Can you guess who his lawyer was?
No. Who was it?
Well, it was Robert Shapiro.
Oh my God, I'm shocked. I'm flabbergasted, just like when shocked. I saw that giant pizza.
Yep. Well, Shapiro only represented Eric in the early part of the trial. So, throughout, like, him surrendering himself and through some of the initial court procedures, but would later part ways. Eric didn't like how Shapiro handled his surrender, as he believed that he should have surrendered himself in London, as there is no capital punishment there. Mm. But there is capital punishment in California, which is where the crime was committed and where he surrendered. So there was the possibility that he could, you know, be up for like the death penalty and more harsh punishments than had he just surrendered himself in London.
I'm curious if he had surrendered in London, though. Do you think, like, so some countries will not, like, extradite people back to America because they're against the death penalty? I don't know. Maybe it's Japan, or maybe not Japan, but, like, some countries won't extradite people back to America because of that. I wonder if, like, the UK is one of those places. Because I would think the UK would extradite people because they have a fairly decent relationship with the US, and that would maybe piss them off.
Yeah, and maybe it's one of those things where, like...
Or I guess you might as well try it.
Would you be held in the UK and go through trial there?
See, that's what I'm thinking. I don't even know.
Like,
that just don't seem right, because I feel like in the end, like, you couldn't really do that because you couldn't have a case in the UK because you would have to... Do you know how much money it would cost to send all the freaking witnesses and everything, like, to the UK to do the trial?
This is true. This was in the 90s. There was no Zoom.
Yeah. I don't know how that would work. I feel like he probably would have been extradited, but maybe that could have given him some time to prepare a case.
Yeah. I feel like they would have sent him back, but I don't know. Maybe that would have... He would have still been on trial for murder, but maybe they would be like, hey.
Yeah.
Or
we'll give them back. We'll give them back, but just no death penalty.
Yeah, I think I have heard that. Yeah, like if sometimes a country can like use it as leverage, be like, yeah, we'll extradite him back, but you have to basically say you're not. You promise. Pinky promise not to do the death penalty. Pinky promise. We had our fingers crossed behind our backs.
We had our fingers crossed. The U.S. has their fingers crossed.
Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. We got you. Yeah.
But he surrendered in California, and the Menendez brothers would go on to both be charged with the murder of their parents. And this is a fairly controversial case because many people feel that the brothers, you know, they've served their time. They should be released because the brothers did admit to killing their parents, but only after being subject to abuse for so many years. So a lot of people feel like, okay, yes, they killed their parents. Maybe they shouldn't have done that, but it was justified. You know, what would you do in that situation? So it's one of those things like, was Robert Shapiro, was he a bad guy for defending people that murdered? Or was he a good guy for trying to, you know, help these kids that had suffered so much trauma?
See, now a few years ago, I probably would have been like, man, screw him. You can't represent nobody who's a murderer. But now that I'm on the other side, for those that don't know, I will be practicing criminal defense law in just a short few months, assuming I pass the bar. Here's hoping. But I think now I've really turned the page to be like, everybody deserves a good defense. And when I say good defense, I don't mean like, I think you deserve like an attorney who knows what they're doing and can, you know, use the system basically to where you're not going to get like raked over the coals. But also sometimes
they should be competent.
Yeah. And sometimes defense attorneys though, they just use a shitty tactic. You know, like I don't like the ones that try to shame a victim or something like that, because they'll try to do. I think that you can defend somebody well, even if the person you're defending is, say, a murderer, but, you know, be a good person about it. Which back in the day, I'd be like, man, I can't. Defense attorneys, ooh.
Yeah, now she's a scumbag herself. Or, excuse me, will be in the next few months.
Hey, look, it doesn't feel great on either side. Because, you know, I was worked at the prosecutor's office last semester, and it was, didn't feel great having, because also you're kind of the worst part of, especially if you do like district court, like traffic court and like drug court or stuff, you're kind of the worst part of everybody's day. You're like, ah.
This is fair enough.
I didn't really like that either, so we'll see.
It's just shit all around. She just picked a terrible profession.
Dang. Oh, well. Too late now.
Yeah. Should have just stuck with dancing. You could be on Broadway by now.
Trust me. I don't know. That probably would be pretty bad, too.
That's true. You could be in the cast of Bad Cinderella, which is getting terrible reviews.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Wow. Go ahead and fall down that rabbit hole.
Bad Cinderella?
If you like that, yeah, it's so shitty. Hmm. That is what it's called, is Bad Cinderella, but it is also a bad production. Well, the acting and, you know, the talent is good, but the writing is shit.
Oh. Yeah, I'd never heard of that. We'll have to look into it. No. Is the music good? I guess not.
I mean, I think the singing's good, but the
like the actual music
songs,
yeah,
are probably.
Look, I got a unpopular opinion. I do not like the music in Hamilton. The singing's good. The music, I don't like, and I don't care what other people say.
I think, no offense, I think millennials ruined it for me.
Yeah, they did. Because a lot of people who... Because
I saw it, I liked it, and I was like, it's pretty good. And then people got too into it.
They did.
And now I can't stand it. And it's just like the song Don't Stop Believing. It was a fine song. And now people overhype it. And when I hear it, I get ill.
When white millennials get to it, it's ruined. It's ruined. And that is an Appalachian term you can take to the bank. Ruined.
Absolutely. Ruined is how you say it on the eastern side.
Oh, yeah. Ruined. Ruined. Okay, I think we've gone on a tangent. But I've lost track of what we're doing here.
We're going to talk about yet another one of Robert Shapiro's clients, who was Christian Brando, who he represented in 1990. So Christian Brando is the son of actor Marlon Brando. And Christian was charged with manslaughter for shooting and killing his sister's boyfriend at their father's house in 1990. And with the help of Shapiro, Christian would go on to only serve 5 years in prison.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty good deal for that. I mean, for the guy.
I mean, not for the person that's dead.
No,
but,
it's never a great deal, I guess, for them.
To get murdered.
Yeah.
It ain't great.
I don't think anyone would wish that.
So, as you can see, there tends to be a theme with Shapiro where he defends people with, you know, controversial crimes or people that are, you know, you're conflicted about whether or not they're a good person or a bad person. And quite possibly the most notable case that Shapiro worked on was none other than the case of O.J. Simpson. And again, I'm going to give you just a broad overview of it because I have gone over it in the same episode that Taylor talks about the Menendez brothers. I talked about the O.J. Simpson trial.
I guess we could have just named that the Robert Shapiro episode. Yeah, that sounds like Ben Shapiro probably has a show called The Shapiro Show.
The Shapiro Show.
I don't know if he does. Ben Shapiro's that conservative guy, right?
He just, to me, we were actually talking about him today, me and Colton, because I find him to have one of the most annoying voices.
Yes. Yes, he does. The only thing I really think of when I think he's the one when Cardi B's song WAP came out and he said
wet ass P word.
And he said that wasn't normal. Everybody was like, man, I think you need to look inward at your own relationship.
He was like, my wife's cooch
dry
is
as a bone.
Not wet.
Oh man.
God. Ooh, she need to get that checked out.
Yikes.
But O.J. Simpson, as I'm sure we all know, is the former NFL player who was charged with the double murders of his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and Ron Goldman. And O.J., having the celebrity status that he did, was able to put together what many people refer to as the Dream Team. So this was a team of legal professionals that included, most famously, Robert Shapiro, Johnny Cochran, and Robert Kardashian. And together they were able to get O.J. Pronounced not guilty. Innocent. That's the word I was looking for. I was like, he was found not guilty of his crime.
Got it.
Sorry, I think I just...
Luckily, both of us knew that, so it wasn't a cliffhanger.
Yeah. I think it was like buffering. Now, at the time of this trial, the country was pretty divided about whether or not OJ could have done it. It was at a time when there was a lot of racial tension in the area. So, you know, you had a group of people that were like, absolutely not, he could not have done this. And you had people that were like, are you kidding me? He's definitely done it. Now, I think, you know, we as a society have come to the conclusion that, of course, he committed this crime. Yeah. So, you know, it just further goes into is Shapiro, you know, a moral person? Would you say that when you fill his bar exam form?
You know what? That would be a hard one. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah, that's hard.
And I'm pretty sure now Robert Shapiro has kind of come out and been like, yeah, because he, you know, in the case, they very much were like, the LAPD has framed OJ. I think in the past years, Robert Shapiro has come out and been like, you know, I don't actually think that the LAPD, you know, framed OJ. But I do think that the outcome of the case was, you know, accurate just based off of the court proceedings. You know, based on the evidence brought towards the jury, it makes sense that they would have the innocent outcome rather than guilty just based off what they were presented.
Yeah. Which I would be very curious to see how that case would have come out if all the racial tensions weren't like so prevalent at that time. Because didn't that happen right around, what was it, the Rodney King riots?
It was right after, yeah, it was right after those riots. Yeah. And the LAPD had already, you know,
yeah,
had several cases of them being pretty racist and violent.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, it was probably pretty easy to paint the LAPD in a bad light at that time. And it probably, they were in a bad light because they were being bad.
That is true.
But, you know, I don't think they framed OJ.
No.
That would seem weird.
Now, that would be weird. Why pick him?
Why pick a, like, hugely famous person? It just don't seem...
With all this fame and fortune.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would probably... If I was going to frame somebody, I'd probably pick
like a rando.
Somebody. Yeah, some Joe Schmo.
Just trying to do like a robbery gone wrong.
Mm-hmm. But shortly after the OJ trial, Shapiro steered his practice away from criminal defense and more towards civil legislation. And this goes even more towards some more celebrities that he defends. So, as we know, he has an interesting relationship with the Kardashians. And if you're like Taylor and you don't know who the Kardashians are, their father, Robert Kardashian Sr., was a part of the Dream Team. And they are a very famous reality TV family. Some may say one of the most famous families in the world. Yeah. But they've spent a lot of their time in the public eye. And he helped to defend Khloe Kardashian in 2007 when she was arrested for a DUI. And it's funny, if you watch one of the, you know, first couple seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, this is when they all had, you know, their terrible spray tans. Mm-hmm. They had their original noses. Yeah,
their original everything, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much their original everything. But there is an episode where Khloe gets arrested for a DUI. Kim tells their mom, and their mom immediately gets on the phone with a lawyer, and she calls Robert Shapiro's office.
Dang.
And it's very funny, because it is on, you know, TV. But evidently, you know, they were satisfied with the outcome, because she actually only had to attend some DUI classes. But evidently that just didn't fly with her, because she ended up not attending those DUI classes and would have to spend 30 days in jail for missing said classes.
Did she actually go to jail?
I can't remember.
Probably not.
I feel like she might. I feel like if she did, it wasn't real jail.
Yeah, it was rich people jail. Weekends only.
Yeah. And she probably got to take, like, yoga classes in her spare time. Now, he also represented Robert Kardashian Jr. in 2017 after he was charged with releasing what many refer to as revenge porn of his ex-fiancée, Blac Chyna. Oh, and then finally, in my opinion, maybe one of the most controversial things that Robert Schneider has done, and that is that he, along with Kim Kardashian, founded Shoe Dazzle in 2009.
What, at Shoe Place?
Shoe Dazzle. Okay. Pretty sure that's the online shoe
store.
I think
I got some shoes from there, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. I mean, we've all seen the commercials. When I think of Shoe Dazzle specifically, I think of, like, those really chunky heels that were popular in, you know, 2007.
Yeah.
You know, the chunky platforms, kind of like a pleathery, kind of shiny leather. And it's got to be, like, a crazy color, like red or blue.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think of.
I definitely have some Shoe Dazzle shoes. I don't want to know which ones they are.
So, but yeah. He found, helped find, found, find? He found it.
Where was it?
It was lost. But yeah, there you have it. That is Robert Shapiro. Is he controversial? I'll let you, the listeners, decide.
He is controversial because I ordered shoes from Shoe Dazzle. And they are a pair of very sensible penny loafers that I'm still not sure if I like or not.
Okay, that's understandable.
But
penny loafers, it could be good, it could be very bad. I think they're cute. They very much give me Nancy Drew vibes.
Yep. I have worn these shoes into the courthouse and room a couple times, so, you know. But I think that he probably is controversial. I'm interested to see how, like, his tactic for defending people. Because now that I know who he defended, which I guess I should have known this when I covered the case, but I guess it just never really came up. Like, with the Menendez case, I'd like to look into more of the specifics of what exactly he did, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, because he really didn't. He wasn't on the case very long, and he didn't represent both brothers. Okay. He only represented Eric initially.
Yeah, and the OJ case is kind of hard because there were so many of them, so it's kind of like, who did what part, and who was pushing the hardest for this and that? Because you'd be interested to see how each of them would have defended him separately, which that would not have been a good idea, because I'm sure all of them together came up with what eventually won, but
yes, because I feel like if it had just been Shapiro, I think the OJ would have gotten charged and convicted.
You gotta have the different voices. Gotta collaborate, people. And interesting.
It is.
Well, my lawyer was clearly bad. It was just, just not great. Just not great.
Mine was more thought-provoking.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I needed you're welcome. My thoughts provoked tonight. Haven't thought at all today.
That's what I thought. All you was thinking about was that big-ass pizza. Now you got two things to think about.
Wow. Actually, I've been thinking about what I'm going to eat as a dessert after this.
Well. Good luck with that.
Okay, here's a shout out for people not sponsored. I don't know. Okay, so I'm always on the search for, you know, as we all are, a low calorie but filling dessert option. And typically that's ice creams. Because, you know, they got a lot of ice creams that are low calorie. I've tried the Halo Top. It just got a weird taste. So I got the Yasso bars, which is like these ice cream bars. You ever had those?
I have not.
So they are like...
I've seen them, but I haven't.
They're like... It's like Greek yogurt, I'm pretty sure it's what. It's like frozen Greek yogurt. And they come in a bunch of different flavors. But the bars, they're 100 calories for a bar. And I tell you, it tastes exactly like ice cream. Like, if you handed it to me and said this is some actual ice cream, I would believe you. And it's so filling. Hmm. And they got ice cream sandwiches for... It's 120 calories for the ice cream sandwich. And it's got... I got... Mint chocolate chip ice cream sandwich is so good for 120 calories, and it's a decent size. You should give it a shot. They're not like it's not cheap, but you know,
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, you should try it.
I absolutely love the Kind ice cream bars. Those are also delicious.
Yeah,
and I think those are dairy free.
Okay. Yeah, I guess these do have dairy, but also it's Greek yogurt, and Greek yogurt's good for you, because also they got some protein in them, and some whatever other Greek yogurt has in it, like probiotics or something.
They got them biotics in there.
Mm-hmm. So, try it out. The chocolate chip cookie dough isn't my favorite. The cookies and cream and the mint chocolate chip have been my favorite so far, if you wanted my recommendation.
I did. You know I love a good mint anything.
Yeah, their mint chocolate chip's good, so I would definitely recommend that.
I appreciate that. Do we have a theme for next week?
We don't, and I actually was thinking of something in my head, I feel like, the other day about a theme we could do, and I totally forgot now.
God dang it.
What was it? I don't know. My goodness. You got any ideas?
What do you think? You really got me on the spot here.
This is riveting podcasting.
I don't know. I'm into something a little spooky. You know, I'm thinking... I think it'd be cool to do, like, monsters.
Alright, sounds good.
Could be real, could be fake. Could be a serial killer, could be supernatural. Yeah. I'm gonna leave it to you.
I think monsters is good. Just vague. Monsters. Mm-hmm. Monster energy drink. I could do that monster energy drink conspiracy where could those be. People try to form the 666 out of it, and they tell you the whole spiel.
They tell you to, yeah, that's the devil juice.
And I'm not going to deny it. I've never had a monster energy drink because I am scared of them. I've never had, you know, that's one thing. I've never, ever tried an energy drink.
I have had a sip of a Red Bull, but ooh, that was accidental, because I was at a bar, and somebody thought it would be fun to order everybody Red Bull vodkas, and let me tell you, it was not fun. It's disgusting.
Just the smell of energy drinks makes me nauseous. Like, the smell of a Red Bull, specifically a sugar-free Red Bull, makes me want to throw up.
Absolutely. I don't know how people drink that willingly.
Oh.
This nation is mentally ill.
And everybody's on these Celsiuses now. I guess that's energy drink. I ain't tried them either. It don't do it for me. If I want some caffeine or some energy, I just need me a cup of iced coffee.
Yeah, or if I'm feeling saucy, like a Coke or...
I'd like a Coke.
I love a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, if I'm going to drink some shitty drink that's gonna be bad for me, I want a Coke. I don't want an old nasty energy drink.
No, I don't. It ain't good for me. But stick with us next week. maybe we'll start a club about we've never had Monster energy drinks, but we hate them.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be a movement.
But until next week, follow us on everything. TikTok, mm-hmm. Instagram, Facebook. You know, if you have a lawyer, if you don't sleep with them because they might charge you.
Yeah, just don't do it. It's conflict of interest.
It is conflict of interest. But until then, stay weird. Goodbye.
Goodbye.